Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program. It's heard weekdays on 19 radio stations with 28 signals all across our great treasure state. Thank you for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe, and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook and on the web at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Please contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com.
And now, here's your host, Bill Whitsitt, filling in for Mr. Tom Schultz. Take her away, Bill.
Well, thank you, Cody. It is a great day, and I want to welcome right away Terry Johnson to the studio. And Terry, how are you this morning?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing, Bill?
Well, good, good. For the listeners, Terry, I'm going to make sure that everyone understands that what we're going to do this morning is talk a little bit about some of the aspects of property taxes and some of the work that's going on that may not be all that understood. For example, we're going to add some insights and maybe even clear up a few myths about how mill levies are set or how our tax bills might be a little complicated, more so than we'd like. In fact, Terry, I was looking at some of the data you provided, because you have been the principal fiscal analyst for the legislative branch at one point in your career. You were the in the governor's office in budget and program planning and leading efforts to analyze taxation and so forth. So perfect for you to try to help shed some light on some things. One of the things being that if I look at my tax assessment notice, which I did in preparation for the program, I find 56 line items and five items of fees for a total of about 61 different elements in my tax assessment notice, each of them with a different amount of assessment, and they all add up to my final tax bill. Wow. How do people even begin to understand what that's all about?
Well, that's a really good question, and then I think it's pretty confusing to people when they do get their statement from their local treasurer's office. The thing with the property tax bill is it's broken out in such a way that it shows the amount of taxes that are assessed by the taxing jurisdiction. And to explain a taxing jurisdiction, it's fairly straightforward. A county government is considered a jurisdiction, as is a city government, and school districts are also considered a taxing jurisdiction. The one area that probably makes it even a little more confusing is that there is what they call a statewide or a state taxing jurisdiction. And so all of those jurisdictions have different levies that are applied to the value of your property. And that's where the confusion arises. So you can have a county government assessing so many mills on your property. You could have if you're in a city, you get those city mills applied. Obviously, if you're in a school district, you get school district mill levies applied. But they're all not the same. Each jurisdiction is allowed to set different mill levies, and how they go about doing that is pretty well defined. Well, it is defined in state law how they are to calculate those mill levies that they're allowed to assess.
So, Terry, when I look at my tax bill, when a citizen does, mine comes from the Flathead County Treasurer, and all of those things that you mentioned appear to be aggregated in there, and that's why I get one tax bill, even though I'm also paying an airport assessment, I'm paying a fire district assessment, school bond issues, and all of those things. Is that correct?
Yep. And that's maybe that was one of the pieces that I left out is that like your mills that are applied to the value of your home are applicable to, again, to cities and counties and schools and the state. But in addition to that, there can be additional fees that are assessed by the county treasurer. And those fees are not driven by the value of your home. They're just based on a fee structure that the county has come up with to assess collecting money for some type of special district in your community. So you have a mixture of things that are applied to the value of your home, and then you also have those fees.
I have with me Terry Johnson. Terry is a former principal fiscal analyst for the legislative branch here in Montana, but he and I first met when he was working, as I was, with the Bureau of Business and Economic Research at the University of Montana, and Terry still does some work for them, but also for the Montana Infrastructure Coalition, and a very bright guy about taxes, which I am certainly not. And Terry, when we finished before the break, we were talking a little bit about fees. I just want to mention that on that famous tax bill that I'm now talking about, I have five fees. One is for a television district, one for a soil conservation district and others. So that's an example or two of what you've been talking about. But in your research, you have actually done some categorizing of where our property taxes in Montana actually come from, what sectors are paying them, and then what sectors use them. And so maybe we can talk a little bit about that. When you look at that list, why don't you go through the percentage of our property taxes that really are gathered by various jurisdictions, and then we can talk about which jurisdictions use the taxes.
Okay. The information that, you know, I have all kinds of information that I get from the Montana Department of Revenue. They're great resource to provide the detail, and I'm able to take that information and aggregate it and show on a statewide basis or on a county basis, whatever, even down to a city level or to a special district. So I'm able to summarize that data just about anyway. From a statewide perspective, it's pretty amazing. I mean, there's only about three sectors of Montana's economy that really pays or actually pays the property tax. And maybe just to divert for a second, when I talk about property taxes, there are 16 different classes of property as defined by the legislature that have potentially different rates that are applied to those values. So when I talk about sectors, I use that information to determine how much is actually being paid by the, for example, residential and commercial property owners for the entire state of Montana pay about 73-74% of the total property tax bill in the state, by far the largest. And then it gets much, much smaller. And when you look at the next largest one, you're looking at electrical energy producers like Northwestern Energy, and they pay between all the different types of generation facilities, they pay about 12% of the total property tax. And then the other category that is pretty much the next largest one is what we call business property taxes, personal business property taxes, and that accounts for only about 4%. So between those three, you're looking at close to probably 90% of the total tax bill is paid by those three types of sectors.
And then, Terry, where do the property taxes go? A lot of folks, I think, are a little mystified by how that money gets divided up. But based on your research, where does it go by broad classes?
Well, yeah, and that is very, very, very confusing for a lot of people. I mentioned earlier the issue with the statewide property taxes. It turns out that state government does not rely on the property taxes very much at all. There's about a small sliver of about 1% of the total property taxes goes to state government for funding primarily the 6 mil levy, the levy for higher education, and also a small levy for purposes of funding the VOTE technical centers. So they're only 1% of that total amount of property taxes collected. And by the way, the state collects about, you know, when I say state, I mean all of the taxing jurisdictions, receives about $2.4 billion per year in property taxes. But the largest consumer of those dollars is public schools. They consume about 54% of that total amount. And then you get into how much is consumed by county government. That's about another 28%. And then cities, individual cities, when you aggregate all the cities across the state, they consume about 12%. So there's, at that point, there's not much left over. A little over 4%, maybe 5%. Is consumed by these special districts, not the districts that apply the fees, but the districts that assess mills against the value of your property.
And Terry, what might an example or two of those kinds of special districts be? Is it the water and sewer districts? You know, we have a communications mill levy that is applied here in Flathead County. Is it that kind of thing?
It probably, without looking at your tax bill, it's probably not. Most of the special districts that are applied to the value of your property are things like fire districts. That's definitely one of the bigger ones of the special districts. But again, where it gets really confusing is that those districts, the mills themselves are applied to the value of the property. Those revenues come in and they can be used only for support of that given fire district. And what can happen because of that is people can be living in the same community, and depending on where your home is located, you may not pay you may pay one fire district because you're in that district, but somebody fairly close to you might be in a different fire district, and they may pay an entirely different tax for that fire district. So that again is where it can get extremely confusing.
So Terry, we have about 1 minute left, and we're going to have you back on this show because there's so much to talk about and just trying to understand our tax bills and property taxes. And we have a lot of good people in the legislature and the governor and the governor's office trying to help us through this period of rising prices and rising taxes. But if there's one thing that you think citizens might take away and pay attention to over the next days of the legislature and well beyond, what would that be?
I think the, you know, in observing what the legislature's done, and I'm talking about, you know, the House and the Senate and the governor's office, I think the thing that's really clear to me is that they've gotten the message that residential property owners feel like they're paying way too much property tax. And I think that message has come across really strong. Legislature is trying to do its darndest to solve the problem. And I know the governor's office is also trying to solve the problem. And where the confusion or the problem comes in is that both the legislature and the governor's office are trying to figure out a way to provide residential property relief without hurting some of the businesses in the state. And that's where kind of the common thread is and why it's so difficult, because the legislature wants to provide the you know, the residential property relief, but they also don't want, you know, your other businesses to pay a lot more in order to provide that. So what the legislature and the governor's office is trying to do is somehow develop a way that you can assess higher taxes on non-residents, people that come in, use our services, but really don't pay for those services. And that's the thing that folks out there in the communities want to kind of watch for and see if
we'll be looking for it, Terry, and we'll have you back. Terry Johnson, thank you for being our guest here on Voices of Montana.
Thanks for joining us for the podcast, and join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.